Brother Michael requested that we sing opening a hymn, number 321. We'll have Brother Balco give us his discourse.
Thank you, brethren. Thank you, Brother Ed, especially Brother Larry, for the prayer. And dear ones, I wanted to first say that Sister Vicki and I and our son Ryan are rejoicing to be with you, dear ones, here in this convention. I appreciate the labors of love and sacrifice in this small group of dedicated, consecrated brethren have put forth this wonderful effort to make it so beautiful for us to partake of the foods and that have been provided from the Heavenly Father's rich storehouse. So we do love you, and we're thankful for each one of you. And also, I wanted to bring the love of our son, Timothy, who's working this weekend. He's back in Orlando. And also our son, Jeremy, and his wife, Carrie. They moved to L.A. in October, and we talked to him before we left, and he sent their love. And my parents, Mike and Marge, from up there in frigid West Newton, Pennsylvania. But their love is warm, and they think of you often and remember you. Well, dear ones, we thought today we would speak again, as been announced, the subject of golden vials of incense. And we picked the hymn that we did, of course, to get your thoughts along the line that what we're going to talk about, and hopefully the hymn gave away the subject. But if not, we're going to turn to Revelation, the 5th chapter and verse 8, and we're going to read that verse. Of course, this has to do with the book of life that was taken to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And again, there's a lot of rejoicing here because we know that no one was found worthy to take that book but the Lion out of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to take the book and open the seals. And when he did also, he took the book, it says in verse 8 of Revelation 5. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, perhaps in your margin, as it does in mine, the golden vials of odors are the incense that we mention in our title. Golden vials of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. If something is in a golden vial, we know that this is something that's very important. And I think that we realize that prayer is very important to the Heavenly Father. It's mentioned all throughout His holy book, from Genesis and then on to Revelation that we just read this scripture. And also, a prayer is rendered before God by David in Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. O Lord, let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense, lifting up and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. We're going to talk a little bit more about David as we go on, but we see, brethren, as we have in the past, that David is a wonderful example of love and devotion to the Lord. Lifting up your hands is really you're submissive to the Heavenly Father. And you're desiring then, as you lift up your hands, to place your hands in His for guidance and direction in all matters of life. And so that same thought is expressed in this verse from Revelation 5:8 that we read. The prayers of God's people rise up before Him as a sweet odor, a sweet perfume. And as we recall, and we know about the incense of old, it was composed of a rare mixture of spices. It gave forth a sweet odor, and nobody but the priests could make that incense. In fact, it was so important that the Heavenly Father gave specific directions to the priest concerning the ingredients. And I think that the same thing can be carried out, that the Heavenly Father gave specific directions and instructions to His own, His royal own, that they can approach Him with everything that they have in their hearts and minds and pour out these expressions to Him. And it indeed rises up in a rare mixture, because prayers, as we'll go on to explain further and as you realize, should come from a heart that's motivated out of love and not out of selfishness, but motivated out of adoration and devotion to the Heavenly Father. I know that's what we all want to do in our lives. So those expressions about the priest being able to make it, and the incense, brought out in Exodus 30, verses 34 to 38, and Exodus 37:29. Again, when we realized that atonement had to be made for the people, and when that had to be done, the priest would go into the tabernacle, he'd put incense in the fire from off the altar. Again, he had to do it willingly. He knew the instructions about how to do it, but it took an effort to do that. A picture of the church going to the Heavenly Father at this throne of heavenly grace in prayer. Of course, the priest also was doing this, and it was for the forgiveness of their shortcomings and weaknesses. And we are told that this incense altar was overlaid with pure gold. And this work was done by a specific person, Bezalel from the tribe of Judah, who received instruction from God through Moses to complete everything by his command. Even the anointing oil that was made from the sweet, pure spices that we mentioned. We also realize again that we don't take this way that we entered into lightly. Our vows of consecration, this is really our giving of our heart to the Lord, but there's a pattern to follow, and of course was made possible through the example by our dear Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And it's a wonderful privilege that we have of approaching the Heavenly Father in an acceptable manner, a proper manner. And it's then conferred to the antitypical priest, the royal priesthood, as mentioned in 1 Peter 2:9. Later on in 1 Peter 4:7, we're told by the end of all things, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, vigilant, watch, and pray. I think in this expression, in this verse, immediately we can see an urging for us to run with intensity. Paul, of course, preached on this. You give it your all. You run that race. There's an intensity. There's a zeal. The Heavenly Father likes you to be zealous in your work, in your devotion, your service to Him. And earnest, striving to gain that prize. It also points out, as we realize, that it's a wonderful privilege to have communion with Him. It stresses the importance of an active prayer life. It's a necessity for those of the household of faith to have this active prayer life. Because each footstep follower sees the need for divine help and assistance in little things of life and the great matters of life. Of course, the little things, we're just talking before the meeting started, the day-to-day experiences that we need help and guidance on, we pray for those. And great matters, making our calling election sure, we can overcome our faults. And we all know our faults and weaknesses. I know mine. But I want to go on with help and to overcome them. And also pray for things that we don't see, flaws in our character that maybe are shown to others, but we don't see them. but help us in those things. And confess to the Lord that we need that help. This is a necessity. And even to resist every encroachment by our adversary, Satan, the devil. And in 1 Peter 4:8, it follows in verse 8 with, have all fervent charity. And we see how the church is to stay close to the Father and try to be a copy of the Son's character and then indeed the Father's character, and to examine ourselves and to be watchful. Again, as we were talking a little while ago with Brother John, putting these things into practice is the hard part. We can hear these things. The world hears these scriptures, but they don't have really the keys to put it into practice. But one day all those who are good and have a good heart, they'll just blossom. And those good traits will come out and be magnified, and their heart will be good. And they'll love the Heavenly Father also with their heart. In Mark 13:33, we have some words that I wanted to read. Mark 13:33, in our Lord's words, to take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. And he says in this parable of the fig tree, and again in Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Immediately here, I think, in these scriptures, we see another reason why prayer is so very important to a child of God. We pray for guidance, we pray for help, we pray for strength to go on each day and fight that good fight of faith. We pray for forgiveness. At the end of this past year, 2002, I know at the watch night service we had a testimony. Many brethren asked forgiveness, not only from the Heavenly Father, but from their brethren if they had offended or said anything to hurt or stumble. And that is a wonderful expression of love. It's a wonderful expression that you are looking at ways to serve and to improve. So we want to go on and grow and develop. We want to watch for His promises to be fulfilled, even as the panel was bringing out many prophecies that have been fulfilled and unfulfilled prophecies. And lay hold upon His strength. Now, that's an important aspect. To lay hold upon the strength of the Lord and the Heavenly Father, we can't stand on our own strength. But we can be more than overcomers if we lean on Him and we trust in Him. And He then in turn gives us more understanding by and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we go on and we desire to have our whole heart be copies of His character, we desire to be heirs and joint heirs with God, with the Son. Galatians 4:7, and then if a son of God, then an heir. Now if we're sons, we realize that there are others involved. And it brings us to our next point, to pray for one another. To pray for one another. In 2 Thessalonians 1:11, Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, it was written together with Silas and Timothy. And we find these words, and Paul used them in other places. We pray always for you. Always for you. Now that's a sign of unselfish love. We're trying to reach the mark of love that's set before us. That God would count you worthy of His calling and fulfill all of the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith and power. Of faith and power. You know, brethren, prayer has power. It certainly does. And with power, what does this world say about power? With power comes responsibility. You've heard that, haven't you? And in James 5:16, The Heavenly Father has given us a special responsibility. It's given to every member of the church. And it involves looking out for every other member. Now, another lesson that's very similar here and ties in is about the race that you're running. It's not run like the world would run it. You know, the leader of the race, he's not looking back to see if you're doing well. He's trying to stay ahead of you, if he's looking over his shoulder. But we're running the race together. We have the same goal. Although we come from different backgrounds, we really have the same preparation. My son, give me thine heart. You're granted a measure of the Holy Spirit. You pray for help and guidance, and you grow and develop in a way pleasing to Him. This is your training. You're in the school of Christ. You're developing. And so, the responsibility is brought out in this scripture, which I didn't read, but James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is of no avail, or it availeth much. It availeth much. And our love, then, prompts us into action. Above all, have fervent charity, love, amongst yourselves, because charity, love, again, covers that multitude of sins. So, brethren, have this sympathetic love. It's a fervent, burning love for one another. There was a little paragraph that I read, and I don't remember exactly the reprint, but it has always stuck in my mind that the pastor brings out again that we're like coals. With my Pittsburgh accent, it's C-O-A-L-S. Not colds, but coals, right? And when you're apart, that coal could be burning. But when you bring them together, like in a meeting, a convention, fellowship with one another, they are fanned into a burning, full of heat, love, pile of coals. And because they're brought together, their heat, their love, their zeal are magnified. It's so important to meet and fellowship with your brethren and to have contact with them on a regular basis. Because then, one day, you're all going to be back out and just be that coal. And to keep it burning, you're going to need to fuel it here. And you do that also with prayer. This shows the sentiment of the heart which one needs to have, a heart which has matured properly. When we say grow and develop in a way pleasing to Christ Jesus, sounds like a good statement, but are you actively doing that? Are you striving to mature? Are you studying to show yourself acceptable? Are you demonstrating that sincere desire and concern for others, for the well-being of our brethren? And it's demonstrated in a prayer for all those who are going through difficult trials and circumstances, both known to us and, as we say, unknown to us. But they're known to the Lord and to them. And I know that everyone in this room has felt the prayers on their behalf that are rendered by their brethren. We hear testimonies about this continually. And as we hear these experiences, they help to build us up and they help to keep us burning. And again, with that strong desire to serve the Heavenly Father. So not only is prayer associated with a power, but prayer is a force. It's an important part of our lives. But also we're reminded that prayer should not be reduced just to supplication, to view it as often the world does. The only time many in the world, not including everyone, that they turn to prayer is when they're a problem, when they're at the end of their rope, as we say. I had a lady at work. I came up to her the other day. She said, "Did you hear the news?" I said, "No." She started crying. Her son's going, he's off on a ship to the Iraq area. She said, "I've been praying a lot. I've been with that lady 20 years. I've never heard her ever say anything about prayer. I see her almost every day." And see, we can't have our life that way. We have to have that open prayer life and communication with the Father. And when we have greater experiences, we've already had that channel open. He knows us. And He wants to hear our hearts felt renderings to Him. And not only that, not just to get what we want. Not my will, but thine be done. That again is the sign of a maturing character. And one that is trying to get rid of pride and selfishness. Because we know that those things are displeasing to the Heavenly Father. So prayer indeed is it's a conscious, dedicated effort. And one to develop in time and over time with our relationship to the Heavenly Father. And also, it's often a very personal, private matter. Prayer is. Thou who is my guide. I will meditate upon thee in the night watches. The night watches. The time when you're having problems is again not the time to just start in prayer. But it's certainly a time to go to the Heavenly Father in prayer. When you feel that the world and its difficulties are crushing upon you and your trials and circumstances are very difficult, you open up your heart to Him. Just as the Lord has done. Really, it's brought out in the 63rd Psalm, the 63rd Psalm, verses 1 through 8. And also in Romans 10:10, believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Also in the 73rd Psalm, verses 24 to 26, Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. There is none on earth that I desire. God is my strength, my rock, my fortress, and my portion. Is it just today? No. He is my portion forever. If you trust in God now and you grow and develop in a way pleasing to Him, and you hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, He's going to be forever there because you're going to be with the Lord. And you continue to be a source of blessing. It's also brought out in 1 John 1:3. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Christ Jesus. And you know, the Heavenly Father and His Son, they desire fellowship with us, their children, through prayer. Revelation 3:20. If a man hear my voice when I knock at the door, why come into him and sup with him? So it's hearing, and then it's also opening the door to Him. When you pray for guidance and direction, then you have to listen to that guidance and direction. Because to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. So prayer is adoration. It's praise of God because of His greatness and His goodness that we want to continue on and to overcome. And it's really not murmuring or complaining of what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust Him come what may. Now, when it rains, let's say you walked outside today and it was raining. Now, what would the natural man say? Oh my goodness, it's raining. I can't believe it's raining. I don't have my umbrella. Now, the spiritual mind, the new man would say, But we needed the rain. We needed that experience. And as I go on, I'll be better prepared next time for this experience. That's what really prayer does for us. We pray and then we have an experience. We're better prepared because the experience was given to us because we needed it. And because we needed it, then we're blessed by it, we're developed by it further. And we can certainly see in a book like the Psalms how a loving child opened up his heart and praised to the Heavenly Father for all of his blessings. It's an awe-inspired book of, and as he contemplates his Creator and the Savior, and as we see that and understand these today, wonderful amazement for the purity and power of God. And as we go on and desire to serve Him, we want to continue to develop as sons of the Father. We want to further develop and realize that there's a wonderful blessing that comes from prayer, and also to make our prayers in such a way that we have a great reverence for the Father, and also to show our desire that thereof, our desires are of the highest quality that we have to give, and we're giving our all. And that's what we have to give. And as we do these things, we see this transformation of our mind away from worldly things and selfish interests and cares, as we've already expressed, to a sincere concern for our brethren and a sincere devotion for the Heavenly Father. And it really is that spirit of a sound mind. And this active prayer life then helps us to declare that evil in every form should be avoided. And everything that's the appearance of evil that our influence for the Lord and the truth may be greater. And we stand up for the cause of truth and righteousness. Our Lord did. And if we're footstep followers, and He said, what can you do? Well, take up your cross and follow Me. There's an active service there. And we want to follow His example. And so as we do that, that is putting that sound mind into practice. Because indeed, if we do this, we'll have a realization that, again, prayer is thanksgiving. It's an outpouring of gratitude to the Heavenly Father for His grace and mercy, His loving kindness. Prayer can be a confession as a sinful man acknowledges his disobedience and shortcomings. As it says in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O my God. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And for I'm really acknowledging my transgressions. And why is this important? We know that scripture, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a contrite heart, a sincere sorrow for sin. It's not the old man who says, well, that's the way I am. You have to take it or leave it. You heard that, haven't you? This is just me. But we want to then use that wonderful privilege of self-examination to improve while we do have the opportunity. And so we want to go on and keep our motives, our actions pure, because evils can be summed up in three forms, and they are actions, thoughts, words, and I guess we should add, actions and deeds are about the same. But if we're striving, on the other hand, sort of on the flip side, you're striving to keep your thoughts, motives, actions, words pure, you're making progress. Especially in this world today, when so many of the things that are not right and good with God are being developed and accepted as everyday things that are fine. And we know they are not. They are evil. And so let's look a little bit further into prayer. And we all know that our Lord taught his disciples to pray. It's in Matthew 6, 9 through 15, our Lord's prayer. And really, the order of the prayer is beautiful, because the chief thing that is rendered, even by the Son of God, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, no guile, no unclean thoughts ever in his mind, he still had reverence for the Heavenly Father first. Glory to God and the outworking of his divine plan was the most prominent thing in the Lord's heart and mind, and it should be also in ours. And then also to thank him for our physical needs being supplied. God promised that our bread and water shall be sure, in the sense that he will not forget us in our needs. And really, in this petition, we're suggesting that we should be waiting confidently upon the Lord, and that nothing in our daily lives, our words, our conversations, would doubt his willingness and ability to perform his promise. The Lord God has everything under control. Again, I read an article by the pastor. Our Heavenly Father, he's not perplexed. He's not troubled. He's not bewildered. He's firm and sure and true. You know, in the world today, that's going a long way. You have that Father that is the same today and yesterday and tomorrow. We can't say that about our daily life's experiences in this world. The things that you thought were going to be there, they're gone. They are indeed, in fulfillment of the Scripture, they are the past times of an hour. But still, the Heavenly Father continues to provide all we need to make our spiritual growth and development a certainty, and to go on and make our calling and election sure. And as we do this, as we meditate in our minds, remember the words by Paul in his writings, be careful for nothing, but cast all your care upon him. Why? He careth for you. And so, we want to reflect that love back to him, the giver of every good and perfect thing. He also told us to make petitions on behalf of others, our neighbors. We pray for the world. And when that lady came to me, she said, would you pray for my son? And I said, I would. But I pray for the world that the sorrow and sighing shall flee away, and there'll be no more wars and rumors of wars, and no more killing over trivial things. Oil? Power? Hatred? Envy? And for that wonderful time when they all shall know him. So we want to also, though, especially have that heart's desire to pray to God for Israel. We know that he is working out those things and that his plans and purposes are being carried out. And he will gain a victory over whatever enemy stands in the way of Israel. There's so many different names, Al-Qaeda, zealots, whatever you want to call them. nothing will stand in the way of God's plans and purposes being carried out. And so we realize that also in our lives, in order to understand the prophecies, His promises more, we want to pray for a greater measure of the Holy Spirit. We've heard that expressed. I want to have a greater measure of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:20. And also in John 17:11 and verses 21 and 22, you pray for the eternal glory to the Father because you thank Him for the resurrection of His Son to glory. And a sincere heart expresses that He has blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And that we thank Him for being such a faithful Father that He carried it out and He raised His Son from the sleep of death and He put Him at His right hand. That we may also have that privilege of knowing Him and calling Him Father and walking in the Son's footsteps. Ephesians 1:15-22. In Ephesians 1:15, we really have this prayer of thanks for spiritual blessings, and it's made by Paul on behalf of his brethren. You know, Paul is such a continuing example of what we've been talking about. He knew his brethren were going through difficulties and experiences, and he wrote many letters to them to encourage them, sometimes to chastise them, but to admonish them and help them. But he also always remembered them in prayer. It's a wonderful example to us that we walk in the Lord's footsteps, that we have full confidence in the Lord and the Heavenly Father by faith, that we're strengthened with bonds of love and devotion. And Paul said even to them, not only did he write these letters and pray for them, but he said he did more. You know, we have to take that extra step. When you say you're giving your all, you're laying your sacrifice upon the altar, that's a whole thing. That's everything, right? And Paul said is the further way to encourage him in 1 Thessalonians 1:2, and really 5-10. For I've heard of your faith and love. I cease not to give thanks unto God for you. I make mention of you in my prayers. So again, our Lord is such a wonderful example to us in all things. And He passed this on to His disciples. No, in 1 Peter 2:21, for hereunto we were called because Christ suffered for us. He left us an example that we should follow in His footsteps who did no sin, that we should live unto righteousness, for He taught us all things. Because we're like sheep going astray. But we return to that sheepfold so that great shepherd of our Lord provided His example. He taught us how to pray. He taught us how to love. He taught us how to have devotion to the Heavenly Father, even at the risk, which it will do, of giving up all earthly inheritance and your life on earth. But then, He was compelled, as we must be also. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Psalm 40:8. And also in John 4:34. My meat is to do the will of Him who sent me. Our Lord even prayed when He was baptized. You know, He was instant in prayer. He was constant in prayer. He was always there to pray to the Heavenly Father. Luke 3:21. He prayed, being baptized and praying, the heavens were opened up to Him. When He chose His apostles, His disciples, He prayed to God. When He was in Gethsemane and they were sleeping, He was praying and meditating with His Heavenly Father. He is the greatest example of an active prayer life, again, of course, that we could possibly ever know. Even when He spent the entire day healing, and ministering, healing the sick, preaching, an exhausting whole day of service. Mark 1, 35 to 37 tells us he spent the whole day and even unto the evening healing the sick, casting out devils. All those who came to his door, he did not turn them away. And after that, he went to a solitary place to pray. And he said, even when he was about to die, Luke 23:46, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And in times of joy, he rejoiced that the Heavenly Father heard him. When he healed Lazarus, he said, I thank you, Father, that thou hast heard me. I don't say this because of doubting you, but the others here who are listening, the scribes and Pharisees, the priests, they're up on the cliff looking, that they would know that it is by your power and by your authority I do these things. So he prayed in these times of joy, and it was a wonderful strengthening to him to know that the Father was always with him. And he's always with us, never leaving us or forsaking us. No matter what trials and dark experiences lie ahead, and we're certainly going to have them, he is always there. His listening ear is always there. He never sleeps. He's always there for you. And Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, and he thanked God. And he said, I'm thankful that you have hid these things from the world, but revealed them to babes, my footstep followers. Because he knew that you would develop and take these things. The truth is a simple thing, but it's confounded the brilliant minds of this world. It's frivolity to them. But to us, it's the bread and water that we need, the meat in due season. So, dear brethren, hope by our comments we can see that prayer occupied a singular place of importance in our Lord's life and teachings. It must be so in our lives. Every decision, every small trial, every crisis, he approached them in prayer. And the Heavenly Father was indeed a constant source of love and help to him, and he will be to us. So let's continue to approach him at the throne of heavenly grace in all matters, make known to him, and open your heart to him, and he will love you all the more. Amen.
Brother Michael, we'll close with a word of prayer.
Our dear loving Heavenly Father, thou giver of every good and perfect gift, hallowed be thy most holy and blessed name. Thank thee, Father, so much for the wonderful blessings that thy hands have bestowed upon us throughout our past days, and for this blessing of being here with those of like precious faith in this convention. Bless each head bowed here before thee, dear Father, and we thank thee for these bonds of love that bind us together as yoke fellows with thy Son, and for the example of our brethren and those that have gone before. And also we pray for those that are not able to attend this convention, desire to, and thy children throughout the world that are striving to do thy will, those on beds of sickness and going through difficult trials and experiences. We do love and we are thankful for each one. We love thee, Father. We thank thee for the giving of thy Son, for this privilege again of walking in his footsteps, of approaching thee through him and knowing thee and calling thee Father. We thank thee for thy plans and purposes being carried out in scriptures, the prophecies that we see being fulfilled. Help us along the lines that thou knowest our needs, dear Father, that we can go on each day and serve thee the best of our abilities and overcome our weaknesses. Help us to spread forth this gospel message of great joy to the groaning human family. And we know one day soon, all will know of thee from the least to the greatest, and this wonderful love will be dispensed to the whole world. Help us again that we can be examples each day, and bless our fellowship together now, dear Father, in the furtherance of this convention. We leave in thy care and keeping. And we give thee all the praise and glory which thou most holy name affords. And we pray in Jesus' name, our dear Lord and Savior. Amen.